Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us today. We are broadcasting live from the Law Enforcement Chaplaincy Workshop at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We are in Seek Hall, and right down the hall from where the classrooms are going, we have several guests with us in studio on location today with us. And before we get to that, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for recording this program. And find out more about Concordia University, let's go to our website. FUO.org for the sponsors, and then you find the CUW logo. Click on that. That'll take you to the Concordia University, Wisconsin page. So go check it out, KFUO.org. Well, joining me here on location at the workshop, the Law Enforcement Chaplaincy Workshop today, we have several guests. First guest to my right here, we have Reverend Frank Rafatos, Executive Director of Peace Officer Ministries and also pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia, and returning guest to Faith and Family. Pastor Rafato, thanks so much for being our guest.
Well, thanks for having me. I always appreciate you all having us on and putting the word out there for us.
Well, it's good to get to chat with you all today. Also joining us here today, Professor Stephen Rafato. He's a professor in is it criminal justice, is that right?
That's correct.
At Harrisburg College in Pennsylvania. Professor Rafato, thanks for being our guest today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Do you know anything about this guy next to you here? You happen to have the same last name.
Careful.
Yeah, that's correct. We are related. He is my much older brother.
And also joining us today, Detective Chad Montgomery from the Police Department of Greensboro, North Carolina. Detective Montgomery, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you all are involved with Peace Officer Ministries. Frank is the executive director, and you gentlemen also serve as board members for Peace Officer Ministries. So we'll talk about how you got involved with Peace Officer Ministries in just a little bit. I want to hear about your careers and your background in law enforcement. We'll start with Frank. I know we've talked about this a little bit before in Faith and Family, but refresh our memories.
Yes, I retired from Prince George's County, Maryland Police Department, about a 1,400-man department. Right on the suburbs of Washington, D.C., butted right up against Washington, D.C., and I spent most of my career in the major crimes section, homicide, child abuse, behavioral sciences, that kind of stuff.
And so then how did you get involved with Peace Officer Ministries? What led up to that?
Well, interestingly enough, as I was debating about whether to come to seminary, my wife and I came out here for one of those visitation weekends that they have, and I had found Peace Officer Ministries on the web, and I didn't make any contact or anything. I just had written a note about it because I knew I wanted to do something with police officers when I got done with seminary. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that one of my I think it was my second year here at the seminary, Peace Officer Ministries held the first training session like this one. And so because I was taking classes during the summer, I could only poke my head into the class. But I met the founder, and we hit it off. He's got a similar story as I do, as a police officer, went to seminary, and he got this thing started. The next year two of the training, I went to the full thing, and the next thing you know, I'm on this roller coaster ride that is the nonprofit world of mission and ministry. And in 2010, I became the executive director. In the words of Steve Lee, the founder, he said, "Here's the keys to the Lamborghini." I don't know if I'd describe it as a Lamborghini, but I appreciate having the keys to the mission and ministry of this. You know, the Christian worldview is what kept me I don't know how to put it. It kept me sane in the midst of the chaos that police deal with, if you will. Not only saved me my eternal salvation, but I think here in the horizontal realm, or the left-handed kingdom, as we like to talk about it, as well.
Well, it may not be as shiny as a Lamborghini, but it sounds like it goes just as fast.
We take the corners pretty well.
Professor Rafato, tell us, how did you get involved? Tell us about your career and your background.
Well, my background is somewhat similar to Frank's. We started in the same year in law enforcement. However, I started with a different agency. I started with a federal agency, U.S. Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. Spent about 5 years there and then came to Prince George's County, where I worked everything from patrol to investigations. Unfortunately for me, I had to retire early due to an injury on the job. So that's what led me to becoming a professor. I went back to school, and now I teach.
What do you like about teaching?
Oh.
Okay, what do you don't you like about teaching? Oh,
there's a lot more of that. Actually, what I really love about teaching is the students, and being able to share the experiences, not only my law enforcement experience, but I get to share my faith. I'm able to teach courses such as ethics in the criminal justice system, so I specifically address Christian ethics. So for me, it's a great combination of the criminal justice education, but bringing in my faith into it as well.
What's the one thing you want your students to know after they've had a class? You know, by the time they've had a class with you or finished a class with you, what is the one thing that you hope that they know? Frank's trying to hold his tongue here.
I'll let him answer.
I'll be honest with you. There's not any one specific thing that I necessarily want them to know. But one of the things I try to convey to my students is that policing is not an easy job.
Sure.
And when they go out there, they need to have something in place that is going to provide them the backup they need, not only out on the street, but in life. And that's where my faith comes in that I share with them. So that's something that I freely share with them, and then they're free to come and speak to me about those things. So taking Jesus on the road with them is important.
And how did you get involved with Peace Officer Ministries?
That's very easy. The first year, a little bit to do with Frank. I think the first year I was actually asked to come out and speak at the banquet and share my story in reference to a shooting I was involved in. And then from there, it's kind of rolled into joining the board, and then using that discussion or that that talk and turning it into a training part for this week.
Very good. And let's go to Detective Montgomery, and let's hear about your career and your background.
Well, I started in law enforcement as a member of the Capitol Police in Washington, D.C. I was there about 5 years, and then moved to North Carolina, where I'm currently a homicide detective, and I've been there about 14 years.
Wow. A homicide detective, you all probably deal with pretty intense stuff, graphic stuff, and how important is your faith in dealing with all the things that you deal with on a regular basis?
Extremely important, and not just for a homicide detective, but any officer. I really do not know how they make it, the ones that don't have that faith. I don't know how they make it, and a lot of them don't.
Sure.
That's why there's an increased suicide rate in law enforcement, divorce rate. Faith is a huge part.
And how did you get involved with Peace Officer Ministries?
Well, there again, I have to go back to Frank.
It's not all my fault.
Sister.
Yes.
Frank's done a lot of recruiting.
Actually, I'm married to Frank's sister.
I see.
So it's within the family right in here in this room. So
when you get together for Peace Officer Ministries, you can also have a family reunion as well.
We can indeed.
Well, at least you get along as family.
Yeah, mostly. Lots of grace to go around.
Yeah. Very good, very good. Well, I know that we've talked, Frank, you and I have talked a little bit about your career and about Peace Officer Ministries before, but for our listeners who aren't familiar with Peace Officer Ministries, can you give us a little bit of background, the history of Peace Officer Ministries and where it is today?
It was founded in the mid-90s by Pastor Stephen Lee, an LCMS pastor, and a similar story to mine. His first career was as a police officer out in California. He went to seminary and then got this started. And frankly, the first sort of major incident that Peace Officer Ministries was involved in was the Columbine shooting, which at that time I was a police officer, and that itself changed how law enforcement did things in terms of training, how you respond to those kind of things. And from there, several kind of big incidents to include the being at ground zero for 9/11. And in fact, the cross that is fought over, you know, that the atheist groups would like to not be around the memorial and all that, Steve Lee was in the middle of that being pulled out. In fact, I've got some great pictures of him sitting there next to that thing while some of the construction guys, the firefighters, some of the police officers come and signed their names on that cross. And what a great picture that is, that, you know, as, you know, our names are written on the palm of God's hand. Those guys, Steve Lee, as part of Peace Officer Ministries, was able to witness the gospel in the middle of that just terrible situation, and guys putting their names on the cross. Just what a great symbol that was. And so out of that, we've done several other sort of responses to critical incidents, probably most recently the Aurora, Colorado shootings. I was out there for a little bit of that. And then, of course, we've been doing this training. This is year 8, if my math is correct. This is year 8 of the training. We continue to do that. We have a specialty Bible that we are, you know, good news and bad news with that. We've given out so many of these specialty Bibles that the bad news is we're out of them. And so we're in the process of raising funds to publish the next run of them. And it's not just any Bible or any Bible edition. We have got a section in the front specifically geared toward peace officers to explain how the Word deals with them and their vocation, right and left-handed kingdom, law and gospel distinction, all that good stuff that we offer.
What is the essence? What is a peace officer? What is it all about, that introduction that you're talking about?
Well, it talks about, again, vocation. It's a calling. Romans 13:4. You know, for the peace officer, my loose translation here, for the peace officer is God's servant for our good. You know, as Chad had just talked about, you know, officers deal with so much stuff, bad stuff, and it wears on you. And so they can begin to think, oh, I'm just a necessary evil amidst all the crud that's out here. And we are trying to train, and we're training chaplains this week to help them to see that, no, you're a necessary good in the face of evil, not a necessary evil.
How do you bring grace and mercy and forgiveness in the midst of, as you said, you're in the midst of all this bad stuff, the consequences of sin you see every day in your vocations as peace officers. How do you bring that mercy, that forgiveness, that grace?
Well, yeah, one thing's we try to help them to see the distinction between law and gospel, mm-hmm. And the right-handed and left-handed kingdoms, how that works together. God is a God of justice. God is a God of mercy. Mm-hmm. Both are, you know, they're equal partners, as it were. And so to show an officer that, you know, as we come to bring them comfort, to bring them the gospel, we're not telling them, all right, listen, when you go arrest that bank robber, give him a hug and tell him he needs Jesus. You know, it's true that bank robber does need Jesus, but that's not the officer's job. You know, so the officer is doing right, even if he has to get into a shooting, or if he's gets into a hand-to-hand sort of combat situation where he has to use his baton on somebody. It doesn't feel like that's love, but that is loving neighbor, mm-hmm. because he's protecting the greater community.
By virtue of your vocation.
That's right.
What you're given to do.
And so we want them to see, you know, as Luther was, we're famously known for telling Melanchthon, when you do a real sin, come and talk to me. Yeah, kind of thing. You know, listen, guys, feel guilty, understand you're guilty about things that are truly guilty of. But doing your vocation, even if it seems distasteful, is not. And so let's talk about now how to not go home and treat your wife and your kids like suspects.
How do you make that transition? How do you make that transition from the things that you deal with on a daily basis to home life and caring for your family?
Well, it can be difficult, and I have a lot of friends on the police department that you can see it when I've been around them and their family, that they have a very difficult time. You know, a great story Frank likes to tell is when he was in law enforcement, and one of his children had done something wrong. Although that was very rare, I'm sure. They, you know, he had her, you know, like a suspect on the wall. You know, get on the wall. You know, don't lie to me. Don't, you know, it's the peace officers usually see the world in black and white. Either it's right or it's wrong. And when you're put into a situation at work where people call you because there's a problem and you're expected to come there and you're expected to handle it, there's no time for wiggle room. There's, you got to handle it. You got to take care of the situation as quickly as possible. So when you get home, it's hard to shut that off.
Sure. So, and the difference between the suspect that you're working with and your family is you have a relationship with your family. You know their background probably more than you know the background of the suspect you're working with. So most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why chaplaincy is so important, because police officers need to have someone they can talk to. Mm. Chad goes out on a homicide scene, and you mentioned seeing the gore and things like that. Is that something he wants to go home and tell his wife or his kids about?
Sure. How do you go home and decompress about that? No.
Right. So, and really, sharing it with other officers isn't always the best thing either, because they tend to spend most of their time talking about law enforcement. Mm-hmm. They need something outside of that, and not only outside of law enforcement, but they need to work in issues of how do they reconcile that concerning their faith. So chaplaincy is very important, and active chaplains, not just a chaplain that shows up, one that's active.
Or not just a name on a list that you can call when you need something, but someone you actually know.
Right.
That's a familiar face that you're comfortable talking to.
Right, that's very important. Hmm.
So this balance between home life and your work, your daily vocation as a peace officer ministry is difficult, and having the support of a chaplain certainly can make a difference. What does that chaplain need to be equipped with in order to serve peace officers in this way?
Well, if I might give my biased part of the first answer is they need to come to Peace Officer Ministries training each year we offer it. But seriously, God's Word, number one. God has plenty to say about this vocation. Well, just as an example, Cornelius in the New Testament, one of the first Gentile converts, he was a centurion, the police of the Roman Empire at that time. And so when I was active duty police officer, some guys would joke with me and say, oh, I can't go to church, lightning will strike, I can't, I've got to get my act together, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you've got that wrong. It's we go to church because we don't have our stuff together. And so this is a place where God forgives that not having our stuff together, to use that language he did. And to strengthen us in the faith that he gives us. And so the chaplain needs to have the vocabulary of law enforcement to understand where they're coming from. And that's one of the things we do teach at our training. I think I shared this the last time I think it was on. If you send me to some country in Central or South America, boy, you better teach me the language, the culture, what are the things that might offend people, so I don't do that.
Right.
And so that's part of what our training is. It's cultural understanding, so you can bring the gospel to bear.
What are things that are unique about the culture of law enforcement that you can share on the air?
You guys got anything on that you would
What is it that you want others, that you would want your chaplain to understand about you as someone in law enforcement?
Well, I think it would be important to understand that just part of the job, we are constantly dealing with people that are lying to us. Mm-hmm. Some people, most people that we deal with are in an adversarial type nature. They're not our friends. So there's a trust level that they have to break into. And part of what we teach here is the do's and don'ts, how to go about it in a way that's respectful to them, and the best way to gain their trust. It's not coming in the door, expecting them to confess all sins or to break down and cry about an incident they just witnessed. So it's building a relationship and how to go about building that relationship.
You mentioned trust. Most of the people you deal with on a regular basis are probably lying to you. So you probably are pretty guarded in everything that you do in your communication.
That's right.
How do you turn that switch off?
Well, you don't. And even, as retired, we can tell you we still don't, in a sense. And it's not just the trust, but you're trained to survive. Mm-hmm. There's a specific course in the academy, officer survival skills. So you're always on guard. My wife laughs at me even now. I go to a restaurant, and my wife and my daughters wait until I've picked the seat I want. They know I want the seat where I can see the door. Mm-hmm. as a retired officer, I can carry a weapon. I don't always, and so sometimes if I'm not, my wife's like, "Well, what are you going to do? Tell them the gospel when they walk in the door?" You know, and yeah, I'm like, "Well, no, but at least if you see me ducking, everybody else should duck." So I watch the door. But we kind of chuckle at that. But you're always we call it hypervigilance. And so we have to, chaplains need to help officers deal with hypervigilance to help them turn it down, go from green, on the board to yellow, not go, 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 but, cautious, but
sure.
calm.
And some of that, I think, is a husband and father thing, too. I do the same thing when we go out to eat. I always want to sit where I can see what else is going on. So I understand, though. You're probably a little bit more in tune with what's going on than I am. I'm probably not nearly as alert. So making that transition, how do you turn that switch off? Did you have something you wanted to add, Stephen? going from dealing with people that lie to you all day long to, how do you turn that switch off and interact even with your students? Maybe they're lying. I don't know. Are they lying to you?
The very first day, I tell my students, everybody lies. I do, because it's the truth. Everybody does lie.
It's a scriptural truth. Let every man be a liar and God be true, right?
Right. But the thing with police officers is they get into this us versus them mentality. Mm-hmm. And it's the police versus everybody else, so to speak, and everybody is a suspect until I can determine that you're not. So it goes back to what you had mentioned earlier, and also what Chad mentioned, was building a relationship. The chaplain cannot be just a name on a list, mm-hmm. somebody that you call. They need to frequently be in there and interacting with the officers and getting to know them before the officers are going to trust them. So it's not something that officers are going to be able to easily turn off. Mm-hmm. So,
Chad, any thoughts on making that transition, dealing with people who lie to you all the time and then just turning that off and interacting with family or even with friends, your friends at church, brothers and sisters in Christ?
Yeah. I hope I'm good at it. I don't know that I am. And that's one of the issues, too, is you don't realize that you do some of the things you do. It's mm-hmm. just kind of ingrained in you. And, and a lot of it is for, good reasons to do your job. But like Frank said, a lot of it is a survival thing. Mm-hmm. Out on the street at work, you do expect everybody to attack you because it can happen. Mm-hmm. And I've had fellow officers that I know that have been killed. I have fellow officers that have been attacked and seriously injured. And I don't want to be that guy, mm-hmm. And so, I want to go home to my family. So, when you're dealing with a citizen and you don't know whether this is the citizen that's going to do that to you, it's hard to go from that and then 10 minutes later go to a baseball game with your kid, and not scan the crowd or stand further back than everybody else. So, I don't know that there's any really, I know faith helps with that. Like I said before, I can't imagine living life without that faith, mm-hmm. And just always on the edge. And I see it in people that I know and people that I work with, but
I think also time, I've been retired for almost 10 years now, so time lessens some of that too. And the more, the stronger your faith too, mm-hmm. you rely on God. And I'm not the one that's out there scanning a crowd all the time. Yeah, I'd still do the thing at the restaurant, but I think time helps with that too.
Not as guarded.
Right.
Still guarded,
so
but not as guarded.
We might want to, sometimes when I talk to officers, I talk about maybe not so much an on-off switch as far as your vigilance, but maybe more like a dial, a volume
turn
dial.
Turn down the dial.
So I was kind of laughing when it seems that he's not that. So you went from an 11 to an 8 maybe?
Okay, well, but, I'm looking at it from my perspective. I guess it's somebody looking on the outside.
Right. And I want to be clear. We do, as part of our ministry, and we encourage chaplains to do this, Jesus is the ultimate peace peace officer. Mm-hmm. He took on sin, death, and the devil, the ultimate bad guy, and defeated them.
Hold that thought. We're going to talk about it. We need to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue talking about peace officer ministries and the centrality of Jesus to peace officer ministries. So stick around for more Faith and Family right after this on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, this week dedicated to good news worth celebrating.
Continuing our good news week, let me tell you about Tasha, who was pregnant and scared because her first pregnancy was really difficult. Desperate, Tasha went to the internet, found a pregnancy center, and put it into GPS. It was a pro-life center where they gave her a free sonogram and went over her options. Instead of going home, she drove around aimlessly and put another center into her GPS. That too was pro-life and counseled her to give life to her baby. A few days later, she was still undecided and once again did an internet search and plugged the address into her GPS. It turned out to be the first center she visited, and Tasha finally realized God was telling her to keep her baby. In this case, GPS stood for a God positioning system.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Two pastors, one an Italian wise guy, and the other a Ukrainian academic. What happens when you put them in the same room with no script and a bunch of sound effects? Well, you're just going to have to tune in to find out. The God Whisperers on Worldwide KFUO, Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central. They're fun-loving, a little off the wall, but always solidly Lutheran. You will learn something every time or double your money back. It's okay to enjoy being Lutheran.
Teaching the faith, spiritual care, acts of mercy. These describe the work of a deaconess. Your pastor provides you with word and sacrament ministry. Consider a deaconess to aid him through other means of caring for your congregation. Her loving hands can bring Christ's love in specific ways tailored to meet your congregation's needs. You have a need, consider a deaconess. For more information, please contact your district president.
Have you ever missed a live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, it's convenient, and you'll never miss another program. KFUO, the official voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
25 years ago, Yan Xiong watched in horror as the Chinese army killed hundreds of his fellow pro-democracy protesters in Beijing's Tiananmen Square. Today, he's a U.S. Army chaplain whose service has included ministry to American troops in Iraq. China bans commemorations of the 1989 massacre, but Major Xiong recalled the crackdown and its aftermath at a congressional hearing in Washington.
I endured nearly 2 years in Chinese prison. It was not until after leaving prison that, with the help of an underground church member, I became a believer in God, and I began my journey in the Christian faith.
In 1992, Xiong came to the U.S. as a political refugee.
Since the time of my baptism as a Christian, I also found the freedom that knowing God provides.
Xiong said he prays the victims of Tiananmen Square won't be forgotten. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back. back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. So glad to be with you today. We are broadcasting live from the Law Enforcement Chaplaincy Workshop at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We're live at Seek Hall with several guests as board members from the Peace Officers Ministries who are sponsoring this workshop. And we have the Executive Director, Reverend Frank Raffano. He's also a pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Charleston, West Virginia. And Professor Stephen Raffano, professor in criminal justice law enforcement at Harrisburg College in Pennsylvania, and also Detective Chad Montgomery from Greensboro, North Carolina Police Department. Thanks so much, gentlemen, for taking some time to talk with us today. I've enjoyed hearing about your families and your careers, your vocations in law enforcement. And it's just, as we were talking during the break, it's always encouraging to me to hear about your vocation in your careers and how that connects to your life at home and your families. And Stephen, you've mentioned several times how important chaplains are in helping you make that transition. As Frank was saying, not an on and off switch, but turning down the dial. And chaplains are so helpful in making that, helping you make that transition, so that you can be a dad, you can be a husband, you can be or moms and wives and sisters and brothers and sisters in Christ. How we can live out our family vocations at home, and not always have that, whatever our work life is going on in our brains, to be able to be faithful in what we're called to do. And before we went to break, Frank, you were talking about the centrality of Jesus to the peace officer ministry.
Yes, that's what it's all about. You know, there's lots of chaplaincy training out there, and some of it, frankly, is just pretty generic. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you make a death notification? I mean, that's just not easy. Mm-hmm. How do you be a presence, among peace officers and that kind of thing? However, for me, having been a peace officer, having, dare I just go ahead and put it this way, being a baptized, blood-bought child of God, mm-hmm. Thanks to the precious blood of Jesus, not only did I come out of that career alive, but I hold on to the promise of eternal life. How do we bring that to bear? It's one thing to come alongside an officer and to comfort them, but they instinctively know you can't pat them on the back and go, "It's going to be all right." Mm-hmm. Really? After I just finished seeing where this child got shot, or there was a SIDS death with the baby, or something equally heinous, mm-hmm. They need to hear, even if they won't accept it right off the bat, or they won't, they want to push it to the side, they need to hear the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus is the one who has brought peace in the middle of all this. That's what we at Peace Officer Ministries, that's the centrality of that for our teaching. Yes, we do critical stress management, critical incident stress management, and we do how to make a death notification, that kind of thing. But really the thrust is, hey, you're becoming friends. When are you going to share your friend, your brother Jesus, with your friend? Mm-hmm. That's what we ultimately want to happen.
I would think in your vocation, as you've alluded to, you face death, you see death all the time, especially, I'm sure, as a homicide detective, you see death all the time. How valuable to know the one who conquered death when you're out in the field doing what you do.
Absolutely.
To be able to know that it doesn't end with death. The final word isn't with death. The final word is with Jesus. He's the one, he is the beginning and the end, not death.
Absolutely. And of course, the church is here just recently shared or celebrated Ascension, where mm-hmm. Jesus, after triumphantly ascends to take the throne next to our Heavenly Father. And so I was just reading a little devotional the other day, and I thought about law enforcement. The 10 days between Ascension and then Pentecost, it feels like limbo a little bit. It's this, where are we? Jesus is in his throne, on his throne. We've got victory, but okay, what now? We're still here. And yet the disciples were rejoicing and went to the temple and that kind of thing. And so in that milieu, we try to help officers to see we're almost in that sort of 10-day period here, waiting for Jesus to return. And so we let officers know that, hey, listen, being a Christian isn't about puppies and rainbows. You know, and that doesn't mean we don't have joy. We can't be happy, any of that. It doesn't mean we have to be, you know, sort of Eeyore. But officers need to know that, you know, hope doesn't lie in their ability or inability to rectify a situation they're called to. It will not avail them that they had a badge and a gun. As we like to say, at some point they have to know you can't badge your way into heaven.
Good point.
You know, none of us, you know, whatever we want to hold up. So if you're in another vocation, you're listening to us right now, you're not going to be able to hold up your certificate in broadcast journalism or whatever that is.
My badge to get in the building.
Oh, the International Center badge. Now, that's an important badge.
It does. But, yes. I mean, it gets me in the International Center, but doesn't get me into heaven.
No, it doesn't. And so we, you know, want to encourage officers, you know, even as they're standing, you know, again, this sounds a little crass, but it's where the vocation is. You know, as Chad is standing over the freshly dead body of someone and having to investigate that and bring closure to the family, that for him to know that, yes, death is not the end, and that what he's doing is a good thing, is important. And so we want other officers to know that.
Well, let's talk about the training that's happening at the workshop. You mentioned this is the eighth year, I believe, that you're doing this?
Yes. I went to seminary and not to math and error, but I believe it's eight. Yeah, we're at year eight here.
Year eight of the law enforcement chaplaincy workshop. Yeah. Who attends a law enforcement chaplaincy workshop?
Well, we get a mix. It's really interesting each year we've done this. You really get a mix. We get a lot of pastors who are interested in doing chaplaincy work. We get peace officers who are active duty peace officers who are trying to, I'll give an example. We have a young guy now, brand new sort of officer who's here this week, and his police department is trying to figure out how to put a chaplaincy program together. Mm-hmm. And so they sent him here to this to see what this is about.
Wow, how nice.
So how fantastic is that? And then, you know, this year we have a good handful of retired officers who are now trying to turn their first career into how can I help the guys and gals doing the job now. And then, of course, pastors of not only LCMS pastors, but we have some from other denominations that come as well.
That are here learning law and gospel.
Yes, indeed. You know, and I will say, you know, as a Lutheran theologian, it is what a thrill it is to see somebody go right and left-handed kingdom, law and gospel distinction. Why didn't I hear about this before? You know, it's a whole new look on how to approach God's word and how to apply it.
What is it you hope to equip the participants with at this workshop? What are some of the things that happen in the schedule? Because this workshop is going on through Friday, so you've got, what, four or five days of training going on. What are the things that are happening at the workshop?
As Stephen mentioned, he's going to share his story about his incident and how, I hate to put it this way, but how chaplaincy didn't work for him. Mm-hmm. Our department at the time didn't have a great chaplaincy program, and so, you know, he kind of shares how what could have been and why it's important. You know, Chad talks about doing crime scene investigation, what happens on the crime scene. What we're trying to do is give – we can't immerse them in the culture of law enforcement.
Sure.
But what we can do is sort of pull the blind back a little bit, let them look inside. So I would say if I might use a little alliteration here, is I want them to have courage. I want them to understand the culture. Mm-hmm. I want them to have courage to share Jesus with that culture, and I want them to have the compassion of Christ to bring to bear in these situations. And so if they can sort of get that out of this in a very practical way, where the theological rubber hits the road of law enforcement, I think we've been successful. You guys maybe have something I missed that from your perspective.
Stephen, what do you enjoy about the workshop? You're involved as a board member and as a presenter. What do you enjoy about the law enforcement chaplaincy workshop each year?
Well, I enjoy the most is building the relationships with these chaplains, because it is about supporting one another, too, within the chaplaincy. So they leave here with the training, but they know that they can always contact, and it's usually through Frank, peace officer ministries to use this as a resource in times when they may need it, when they're dealing with something a little bit bigger than what they can handle themselves. It's being able to share, like Frank said, pulling the curtain back a little bit, sharing a little bit of our experience in law enforcement to give them an idea of what they're going into. So,
Chad?
Well, it's encouraging to me that there are people that will travel from all over the country. We've had people from other countries come, and that to be their mission for the week is to try to figure this thing out and to take it back to their local departments and to minister. It's such a niche group, I guess, when you're talking about law enforcement, that it really is encouraging that there are people that are focused on that.
How do those who go through the law enforcement chaplaincy program, what can they do after completing the program?
Well, I will say we're not like a membership organization where suddenly, we don't give them the imprimatur of, hey, you're a chaplain now.
Sure.
But what they're able to do when they come out of this is when they go back to their local agency. Well, let me back up just one step. We know about military chaplaincy, mm-hmm. Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, that kind of thing. There's a pretty set way, and every Air Force chaplain is going to go through Air Force training, and they're all going to do it. Law enforcement is different. You could have one county, and the sheriff, I want a chaplain, I want a robust chaplaincy program, and they'll support it, and they'll do it. And the county next to them, the sheriff will be like, yeah, and maybe not have much mm-hmm. of anything. And so we have to sort of wade through that. But what the guys and gals here that will come and do this training will be able to take back to their respective agencies is, I have been trained. Here's the curriculum I've been through. Mm-hmm. I have a basis for it. For the FEMA stuff that it gets trained, hey, when a critical incident happens, I'm not just in the way. I can actually be a help. I've been trained. And that's sort of a first stepping stone for anybody. And the other thing I shared with them on the first day is that officers have to go through yearly recertification training. They'll appreciate the fact that chaplains are trained and took that time, like Chad said, to figure it out.
So while it's not a specific official credential, it certainly gives some credibility to and legitimacy to what they're doing as a chaplain.
It does give credibility, and I will say for us, for the LCMS, we are part of the credentialing process for the LCMS. In fact, we've got a task force right now. That's why I have to go up to the International Center on Friday to how do we endorse our Lutheran pastors to be public safety chaplains. And so part of that, this training does sort of come under that. You got to have this as part of the package mm-hmm. for you to get endorsed. And so we're working with the Synod, the headquarters, as it were, on getting it tweaked in a way that's going to be beneficial.
Let's talk about the various things that are being covered at the workshop this week. Chad, what are you involved with this week?
I'm going to be directly involved with the crime scene portion, and it's I'm going to present some cases I've been involved with and kind of talk about how I dealt with things and how the chaplains can be helpful mm-hmm. in dealing with specifically detectives or anyone involved in critical incidences and just what we're looking for and what we may be going through with those instances. And then also we're going to do a mock crime scene, so to speak. And,
here at the seminary?
Yes. We're gonna
out in the quad.
it might be in this very room right here.
I see.
It was the radio announcer with the wrench yeah. in the radio room.
And we're gonna run them through a scenario and mm-hmm. let them kind of look at it from our perspective, and put them as much in our shoes as we can.
And you'll be changing all the names, of course, to protect everyone.
Exactly.
Sure, yeah. That's right.
Why are all the last names Rafato?
Yeah, some people can't get away from it.
So a mock crime scene to give them an experience of what it's like to be a chaplain in that setting, how they can be helpful, how they can be a resource and support to officers.
Yes.
Very good. Stephen, what about your involvement? What will you be doing here at the workshop?
Oh, wow. One of the things I'll be presenting is in reference to a shooting incident I was involved in when I was an active officer. I'll be talking about the impact of that shooting and how, as Frank alluded to before, how chaplaincy didn't work, but how it can work, mm-hmm. And why it's needed in critical incident situations. I'll also be presenting on active shooters and Christian leadership and communication styles.
Now, to find out how chaplaincy doesn't work and how it does work, do I have to pay the registration fee, or can you share that with us?
You have to pay the registration.
That's the executive director. Spoken.
Hey, listen, the board peek.
Yeah, the board keeps me accountable.
You've got our attention. Yeah. I mean, how does chaplaincy not work? What is key to chaplaincy that
goes back to what we said before? Mm-hmm. It's relationships. If there's not a relationship built, and we talked about officers not trusting, if you come in out of the blue, I'm not going to want to talk to you.
Certainly.
I don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, it comes down to building the relationships and mm-hmm. being there and being a part of the culture so that officers get to know you, so that they trust you. So in that time of need.
Sure. You can open up and
exactly.
And share those things that aren't yeah. troubling.
Because I know in my situation, that is exactly what mm-hmm. I needed, and I didn't have it.
Well, and I'll share, you know, from my perspective for his shooting, I was in the homicide unit at the time, and at that time we were the unit that investigated police-involved shootings for our department, and, you know, so there's that dynamic with us. And at the time, I didn't know what to say at all. You know, I'd go over to his house some evenings and just kind of hang out with him because mm-hmm. I didn't know what to say. When we didn't have anybody we could go to, even as the family, and here I'm a police officer, you know. Police officers sometimes, you know, because they want to cope with the stress, might slap them on the back and go, "Oh, you're a hero."
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't feel much like a hero a lot of times, mm-hmm. you know. And so a chaplain needs to be bring not just, they call it ministry of presence, you know, in the field, if you will. But I want to call it ministry of God's presence, of bringing compassion and the gospel, living it out. Showing it, and then when that officer is in that tight spot, he will think about going to that person.
So a chaplain really needs to be present regularly mm-hmm. in order to build that relationship, to provide those opportunities to talk, to listen, and to talk and to speak the gospel
right.
where it's needed.
Yeah,
right.
Now, you know, so one of the cultural things we train is, so for instance, when I first get into a police department, you know, I don't walk up to the first officer and go, "Hey, my name's Frank. Do you know Jesus?" You know, because they're going to think, "Wow, we got a squirrel here." You know, so, you know, I kind of get to know them. Mm-hmm. I let them get to know me. I mean, I do have a little bit of advantage over some chaplains in, you know, I kind of pull out my retired badge and say, "Hey, I know what you know, what I know, what you know." And so that kind of starts, oh, okay, he is one of us. That's the other thing I tell him. I say, you know, I'm not a wannabe, I promise. I'm a has-been. That's right. I'm a used-to-be. And so that kind of opens the door. Again, it's that trust gap. We're mm-hmm. trying to narrow the trust gap for that. So some of the things we do, you'd ask, you know, what are we doing? So we
yeah.
are going to, we have a lady coming in this afternoon to talk about line of duty death. Her husband was killed in the line of duty, and she also talks about some of the good and bad that chaplains did, or the department did in terms of chaplaincy and supporting for the family. What's great about her story is she partnered with us in the aftermath of her husband's death. We had a special edition Bible printed and gave out about 2,500 of them at the Houston Police Department. I got to stand in roll call rooms,
wow.
share the gospel, say, "Guys, you would not go out without your soft body armor or your gun. Do not go out without the Word of God," and to be able to share that with them. You know, again, that's one of those ones, you know, the Lord could take me right then, and that's a touchdown. You know, it's just, that's a win right there.
Right, being able to put the you know, God's word in the hand of these officers that are going out and dealing with all the, sometimes the worst that humanity can throw at you,
mm-hmm.
And to be able to have that resource. It's like, you know, they go out with their tool belt or their gun belt with, mm-hmm. You know, the gun, the pepper spray, all that stuff. Why would they go out without that? Why would they go out without God's word? So I think our the Bible that we produce is very important, and I think getting that printed is something we've got to do.
Sure.
We've got to do. And like you said, I mean, it's good and it's bad that we're out.
Yeah.
It's good that we've got them out there, but it's bad. We need to get more printed so we can get more into the hands of those officers out there.
How many have gone out so far?
Well, over the history of Peace Officer Ministries, probably some 35,000 or more. Mm-hmm. We did a big batch in the wake of 9/11 and that kind of thing, and we've done several editions. We want to continue to improve it. Steve Lee, again, the founder, did the original section, and I'm looking to add a little bit of some study helps for officers to see how to navigate, you know, kind of like a crime scene. You know, you can take a section of scripture, and like a crime scene, you got to know the context. What's the neighborhood I'm in? Where, you know, what has happened? Who are the figures in this? And that kind of thing, and use the language of law enforcement to help them see how alive scripture is.
Mm-hmm. It's living, breathing, double-edged sword.
That's right. Well, if I might, Ephesians, you know, put on the whole armor of God. Mm-hmm. Put on your soft body armor. Put on your utility belt of truth, put on your 9mm, the sword, if you will, of the modern day centurion, of the word. That's your one offensive weapon that you have, that you can defeat evil with.
Very good. And so if folks want to find out more about how they can support this project, do you have a website?
We do. It's a Peace Officer Ministries.org. Mm-hmm. We're also on Facebook. Look for us there. You know, we can use all the prayer and, yes, financial support that we can get so we can get these. You know, my board members, I'll tell you, everybody that works for Peace Officer Ministries all volunteer. So all of what we take in terms of people's offerings go towards printing Bibles, training pastors, helping police officers responding to critical incidents. We really try to put just about all of it into the mission and ministry itself.
We've got just a couple minutes left. I want to talk just briefly before we wrap up our time. You mentioned earlier that chaplains supporting the family. You were talking about the widow, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. How do chaplains, law enforcement chaplains, support the family with just about a minute?
Again, more relationship building, being there. Usually if you've narrowed that trust gap and an officer will talk to you, he's going to give you a window into his family. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes you participate in things where families are participating, you meet the families. You know, it's not exactly being a pastor of a flock, but it's close as you build those relationships and they begin to trust you. And so when that tragic incident that might happen, they will come and lean on you. Mm-hmm. And then that's the time where the rubber hits the road for that.
And being ready to to help those families, I guess, is key too. Well, I certainly have learned a lot today. it seems like every time we talk, I learn something new about the law enforcement and the ministry that Peace Officer Ministries is doing. We'll provide a link to the website as well when we post the archive of today's program, so our listeners can just click on that and take them right to your website as well to find out more about what Peace Officer Ministries is doing and how they can support you and certainly how they can pray for you and maybe how they can get a trained chaplain in their community as well.
I mean, and if they want me to come to their church and do a talk mm-hmm. about what this is about and how to help congregations to reach out to this community as well in terms of doing mission to this unique culture, available that kind of thing too. So.
And if you are thinking about the training, while it's going on this year, obviously it's a little late to get into it, but if you're thinking about it or want to recommend it to someone next year, it's an annual event about this time of year, right?
As long as the seminary will have us, we will come and do it.
Outstanding. So that you can, and it's not just for pastors. As you said earlier, there are others who can come and learn and benefit from this in order to support peace officers.
Again, it's a mission mindset. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a congregation and you're thinking about how can I outreach to something in our community, law enforcement's a great outreach into the community.
Absolutely.
Community to do that. So.
Well, gentlemen, I really have enjoyed our time together. I want to say thanks. Detective Chad Montgomery from Greensboro, North Carolina Police Department. Chad, thanks for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
And Professor Stephen Raffato from Harrisburg College in Pennsylvania. Thanks so much for being our guest on Faith and Family today.
Thank you for having me.
And Executive Director of Peace Officer Ministries, Reverend Frank Raffano, thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family. It's been great chatting with you again.
As always, I love to have these chats with you.
And it sounds like class is just about ready to resume, so I need to let you gentlemen go. And coming up next on Worldwide KFUO, Moments of Assurance, stick around for more right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.